You know
what that song means.
Oh, fired up, Owen.
Well, Ken normally sings when we play this song, so you're in his seat today. You got to do the singing.
Yeah, let it rip, Daryl.
I can't sing, but crank it up.
Ken can't sing either. He still does.
Yeah.
It's Browns training camp opening day.
I wanted Daryl to sing.
Yeah, no, we're not singing. Listen, 4 hours of me is enough. Me singing within that 4 hours is a little much.
Yeah. Oh, let's see what happens.
Yeah, come on.
And the only way that I would even consider singing, it would require significant amounts of alcohol, which I promise you, during this season, I probably will be drinking.
If we can get some form of a Levert in here, will you sing?
No.
I'll put a signal out to any Leverts in the area.
I have two rules in life.
That's fine.
I do admit that I'm a very self-conscious individual at times, and I do not sing, I do not dance. I do enough in my regular day-to-day life to just utterly embarrass myself with my lack of coordination and various other areas that many of people feel that I'm deficient in. We do not sing, we do not dance. But Danny, it is the kickoff of Browns training camp. I'm sure everybody is pumped and excited. Training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy in Mentor. Practice this afternoon around 4 o'clock. Fans are going to be out there. It's going to be like 95 degrees. So wear your sunscreen. Hydrate. You're going to need it. But how jazzed are you for not one, not two, not three, but four-man quarterback competition?
I mean, I think that this is the only thing to be excited about with this training camp, is to see what these rookie quarterbacks look like, truthfully, because we know who Joe Flacco is, and I think we know who Kenny Pickett is. I know there might be some people that have a little bit more excitement about him and the fact that maybe he could have a season similar to what Sam Darnold had with the Minnesota Vikings last year, and that is not something personally that I buy as a possibility, because I've never thought that he was good. I never saw it with Kenny Pickett, where right. At least with Sam Darnold in the past, you could see a fuzzy outline of a guy that could be pretty good in the NFL. It just, you know, he wasn't able to put it all together prior to last season for the first 16 games with the Minnesota Vikings. But I think that the unknowns are the exciting thing, because we don't know exactly what Shedeur Sanders is going to look like. We don't know what Dylan Gabriel is going to look like. Maybe one of those guys pans out, and I'm not necessarily, Daryl, ready to talk myself into one of those guys as a franchise type quarterback, because if they were, I don't think they would have been drafted in the third and fifth round respectively. But maybe we've got something. We'll find something.
You know,
maybe
what?
They'll look competent in a way that Browns quarterbacks so rarely can.
You know what? Since you mentioned, I think we need to power rank the quarterbacks. We got four guys to pick from, right? I think that we just might have to rank them. Here we go.
Are we doing this going into today? Is this expected?
This is
into
Danny's
week one?
Feeling. What do you feel right now?
Right now, Joe Flacco, number one.
Okay.
Dylan Gabriel, number two.
Interesting.
Shedeur Sanders, number three. And Kenny Pickett, number four.
Ooh.
No love for Kenny Pickett.
I think Kenny Pickett stinks. He's not good. I have seen far too many Andrew Filippone tweets about this guy being good for me to ever think he's good.
Yeah,
well, you're going to get a lot of tweets here in a few minutes, too, from relatives.
I think you need to consider the source of those tweets, though. I've seen Andrew Filippone's timeline. Accuracy, not a thing. Okay, my turn to rank the quarterbacks. Ready? Here we go. Numero uno, Joe Flacco. I am going to go Shedeur Sanders, number two. Kenny Pickett, number three. And mostly because I can't see him when he's on the field, Dylan Gabriel, number four. There we go. There is your inaugural 2025 NFL training camp quarterback power rankings, the unofficial Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima quarterback power rankings. I'm expecting those gentlemen, when they return next week, to continue what I hope to have begun, a storied tradition on this show, a weekly ranking of these quarterbacks.
Yes, nobody will ever forget where they were when we ranked the quarterbacks, Daryl.
It is a seminal moment in the history of this show. look, the quarterbacks are going to take center stage. They always do. You know, look, this isn't Brady Quinn versus Derek Anderson, but it kind of feels that way. It's not Tim Couch, having to compete with just a variety of guys when he was here. But it is unique in the sense that it's a four-man competition. I, by the way, don't buy that it's a four-man competition. No. I have not been shy about saying that. I don't believe it's a four-man competition, not by any stretch of the imagination. Just remember what you touched on. And I mentioned this yesterday. Let's be fair. Let's be realistic. And I know, like, for fans, that's not what being a fan is all about. But that's what I'm about. As someone who covers the team, as someone who sits in the chair here in front of a microphone, I just feel that I have a responsibility there. And I'm not going to hype guys unnecessarily, even though I know, like, fans wanted me to wake up this morning and, you know, they're tuning in and they want me to just be all jazzed and fired up and getting behind one of these guys to be the guy this year and take the bull by the horns. I just can't do it. Too many questions. I can make a case for each of the four guys. I can make a case for each of the four guys not to be the guy. But Dylan Gabriel's a third-round pick.
Right.
Shedeur Sanders was a fifth-round pick.
Correct.
That's not me sitting here taking pot shots at either one of those guys. That's just me trying to look through a realistic lens that I never have expectation that a third-round pick is a week-one starter or that a fifth-round pick is a week one starter.
At any position, not just quarterback. At right. any position.
Well, yeah, most any position. You know, maybe if it's an offensive lineman, you might think they can slide in there. But I can't bring myself to do that. And I can't bring myself to sell that to you Browns fans. Because I just don't think it's fair. Yes, Shedeur has the raw talent. There's no question about that. But I cannot stress this enough. It's raw talent. And also, the Browns went into the draft, and I know the Shedeur, the Shishills, including two of them here at the station, one Jonathan Peterlin, who is Shishill Sr., and then Shishill Jr., my partner on Sundays, Nick Padone, will be upset with me saying this, but they had no intention of drafting Shedeur Sanders. That was a situation where it's the fifth round, you got a couple of picks in your pocket in the sixth and the seventh round, you're just like, we did everything we came here to do. Let's call our friends in Philadelphia. Why not? He's still on the board. Maybe we catch lightning in a bottle. Let's go ahead and draft the kid. Why not? It was a why not pick. And again, I don't say that disrespectfully towards Shedeur, and it's not a criticism, but it is a reality. And there are things in his game that I know organizationally the Browns want to get out of it. Like they want him to break a couple of habits as well. So I don't have any illusions that he's going to be ready. Now, the moment he takes the field, city's going to go bananas. The country's going to go bananas. All the Shishills are going to go bananas. But I don't feel like he's ready. I don't feel like Dylan Gabriel is ready. They like they like the
so
way
what
he
do
sees.
They like about him? What do they like about Dylan Gabriel? Why was he the guy that they went with before Shedeur? What do they like after seeing him in the minicamp settings, the OTA settings, going into training camp? Why is Dylan Gabriel, I think, inside that building in Berea, more highly regarded than Shedeur Sanders is?
They like the physical toolbox. And when I say physical toolbox, I'm talking arm strength. They like the mental aspect. They like how he processes. They like how he sees and feels about the game and whatnot. And look, to be honest, there are things to like about Dylan Gabriel. Like, let's be clear about that. But I don't think it's enough at this level to be successful. And again, it's a third round pick. That's why I feel like this is a two-man competition. It's coming down to Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco. They love themselves some Kenny Pickett. I don't get it either. I think a lot of it has to do with that he has some sort of the it intangibles, right? He played some of the most god-awful, ugly football you can imagine in Pittsburgh. But when the fourth quarter came, despite all that, he found a way to win 6-7 games late.
I think that's just anyone in Pittsburgh does that.
Right.
I don't think it matters who the quarterback is. The Pittsburgh Steelers do that. That's who they are.
Like, he might have been successful in spite of himself and in spite of Matt Canada.
Now, the Matt Canada thing I can listen to because that guy was one of the worst offensive coordinators I can remember in the NFL. So I can listen to that aspect of things, but I cannot look at anything Kenny Pickett has done outside of really one good year as a fifth-year senior in college.
And take it seriously?
Yes, and say that guy is good. Like, if you look at his body of work at Pitt prior to that final year, he was not anybody that was on anybody's draft radar. Like, he was not thought of as a future NFL quarterback. Then he's overdrafted in the first round because he went to Pitt and the Pittsburgh Steelers need a quarterback. And it's a great story, and I understand all that. Gets to the NFL, he stinks. And then he comes, like, he goes to Philadelphia and he's a backup, and that's fine. And we're just, I don't think expecting anything of him is the right thing to do.